Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast. In podcast 455, this fall, the United States is going to hold a general election in which a president, a third of the Senate, and all 435 congressmen will be elected, not to mention state legislatures, governors, city, county, and township elections. So for conservatives, 2016 requires all hands on deck to even have a chance to win a presidential cycle. And what are some of the so-called conservatives spending their time on? Are you ready? Pushing for a so-called Article 5 Constitutional Convention, which I'll explain, or working to impeach outgoing President Barack Obama. So in this podcast, impeaching the con. Well, you've heard me talk a lot about ex-government cars over the years here on the Bob Davis Podcasts. And the reality is that wherever you are in the world, when you need safe, reliable, and affordable transportation, think ex-government trucks. They are the largest selection of fleet-maintained former government cars and trucks in the central United States. The new location for ex-government trucks is now open at 356 19th Street, Forest Lake, or you can call 763-777-8782. And they will help you out. The new ex-government trucks Mega Truck Center has dozens of the best brands. They've got the Fords, the Chevys, the Dodges, the Toyotas. They still have the ex-government cars. There's still a lot of Crown Vics out there, Dodge Chargers, the new Ford police sedans, eventually the new Ford police SUVs. And the main thing is ex-government trucks has lenders for everybody. They can get you approved fast at all credit levels. Ex-government trucks has the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, so you buy with confidence. And as always, they love taking trades. As I've said, Ed Johnson really says, look, tell everybody we take trades and we'll pay the highest value. And there's not going to be a lot of BS. And finally, I just want to say that Ed Johnson and ex-government trucks, they're really good at helping you out with your vehicle after you buy it. I've never seen them turn somebody away without a solution. I've even seen Ed give people cash out of the petty cash drawer to have them get things fixed that they couldn't deal with on that particular day for whatever reason. So I'm not saying that's going to happen to you, but I'm just saying that service after the sale is really, really important. Don't forget xgovernmenttrucks.com.
xgovernmenttrucks.com.
Well, it's 10 below zero outside. I got the fire up and running, obviously, just to warm me up and to warm you up again. So what's going on here? Big election coming up in 2016. For people on the right, this is going to be a tough election. And it's not just because it's a presidential election, but you also have key Senate seats vulnerable and some key congressional seats vulnerable. So it's possible that the kinds of majorities that Republicans have currently in the House and Senate wouldn't be there, even with the election of a Republican Senate. So with conservatives challenged to get out the vote for their own candidates, what are some of them doing? Well, they're pushing for something called an Article 5 Constitutional Convention, and to impeach President Obama. So quickly, let me explain an Article 5 Constitutional Convention. There's two ways to amend the U.S. Constitution according to the Constitution. One is for the Senate and the House, federal Senate and House, to pass an amendment to the Constitution by a two-thirds majority, and then it is sent out to the states to be ratified. Or three-fourths of the states can call for a constitutional convention to discuss amending the Constitution. And there's a lot of problems associated with this, not the least of which is something called rescission. Over the last 40 years, 27 states have endorsed the idea of an assembly at one time or another, including Texas when it was governed by Democrats. Many states that have called for a constitutional convention have rescinded their resolutions, and some people aren't sure whether those rescissions are constitutional or not. Just last week, Texas Governor Greg Abbott called for Republican support in his assembly to pass another constitutional convention resolution. So that's a very interesting situation. Supporters of something called an Article 5 assembly claim they only need 7 more state resolutions to get the magic number of 34. Some supporters say they already have 34. The problem is these rescissions. There have been movements to have an Article 5 assembly in the early 60s to discuss apportionment. and also in the early 80s to discuss balanced budget amendments. And now currently there's a whole raft of issues that proponents of an Article 5 assembly want to see addressed. Marco Rubio is the only candidate that I know of that says that he would call for a constitutional convention to discuss, I think, term limits for Congress and the Senate. On the presidential front, another big time waster, in my opinion, for so-called conservatives is something called the Impeach Obama Movement. Now, I'm recording this podcast on the very cold evening of January 10th, 2016. President Obama is going to leave office on January 20th, 2017. So the nation's 44th president is going to say goodbye to Washington for good and probably happily in exactly a year and 10 days. Whether he is succeeded by somebody who shares his political views so they can be expanded upon, or someone who possesses different political views so some of the things the president has done can be changed, depends completely on whether so-called conservatives rally to elect a president. That process has essentially already started, but officially it starts at the end of this month when the Iowa precinct caucuses are held on February 1st. Followed very quickly by primary races across the country. For those of you in Minnesota, the Minnesota precinct caucuses are going to be held on something called Super Tuesday, March 1st. Super Tuesday is a day in which several states hold primaries and caucuses, most of them in the Mid-South. And Minnesota's caucuses were moved up to this date, actually moved back to this date from 2012. Anyway, generally speaking, it is difficult to get people to these caucuses and to vote in state primary elections. I was actually shocked at turnout numbers, so much that I actually tried to look and find different sources to see if they're right, and I still don't believe them. But in 2012, only 6.5% of the voters turned out for the Iowa precinct caucuses. In Minnesota, it was something like 1.5%. And that was a presidential year when turnout is generally higher in primaries. So getting so-called conservatives to polls for primary elections or caucuses is extremely important. And I have explained why in other podcasts, but in Minnesota, it is from the precinct caucuses that we draw delegates for county, state conventions, basic political unit officers, and it's the caucuses on which we predicate getting volunteers and workers for the general election. If you can have a big turnout for the caucuses, you can choose who wins your state caucuses or primaries and thus have your personal impact on the big national race. And it's important because there isn't such a big turnout for the caucuses. So if you can get your people into the caucus, you can pull off a huge victory. Activists have been pushing so-called conservatives to turn out for the caucuses and for the general election for weeks. We're talking tens of thousands of people for these things instead of hundreds of thousands. We're talking about very low turnout, even for primary elections. And especially when you consider that New Hampshire had the highest turnout in 2012, with only 31% of eligible voters turning out for the New Hampshire primary, which is very famous. Overall, primary participation was about 16, 17% for all and about 15% for Republicans. So what is the Tea Party's response for this call? And I'll tell you, it was to send out notices to ask people to sign a petition to impeach President Obama and to push for a constitutional convention. So let's talk about the case for impeaching Obama first, if such a thing could be managed before the end of his term in the middle of the presidential election year. And it almost goes without saying that if you did succeed in impeaching President Obama, if you did succeed in impeaching President Obama, you would have the dumbest, you would go from the smartest man in the world to the dumbest man in the world, Joe Biden. So people apparently forget that they would have Joe Biden as president if they impeached Obama, because you'd have to impeach the president and vice president separately. Here is a whole list of things, various things that people that I've been able to glean from the internet that people say that they want to impeach the president for. The first is contempt for the Constitution, that his executive orders are illegal or unconstitutional. And you'll hear this on the campaign trail. I'm going to reverse all of the president's unconstitutional executive orders. First of all, it is hardly illegal for presidents to issue executive orders. They all do. Lincoln started it with the Civil War, having to run the country essentially by fiat. This president has issued some pretty controversial executive orders. Whether they're unconstitutional or not, that's another thing entirely. As far as unconstitutionality and it being a matter of opinion or court opinion, getting an indictment to impeach from Congress and actually trying that in the Senate is a different question entirely. Criminal fraud. They say that he has made false promises. Basically, you can, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it in his campaign. All related to Obamacare, most of the promises, and being deceptive about his promises, and that he should be impeached for that. Again, is that a crime? It's going to be tough to prove a high crime and misdemeanor on the basis of a political promise that wasn't kept. I can't imagine what a presidency for a Donald Trump would be like if you could impeach a president for that. And if there was a Democrat majority, how long do you think any Republican would be president after that? Treasonous national security policy. The impeachers say it's by design, insidious design and treachery that he has conducted national security policy. Again, these are subjective terms, terms of art, insidious and treachery. They're not necessarily legal terms, and you have to prove intent, and that means you need lots of witnesses that prove that intent, and not people that just disagree with what he's done. It's going to be difficult to prove, difficult to get, an indictment from Congress and to try that in the Senate. Benghazi. He covered it up. Again, maybe he did, and maybe he didn't. Maybe Hillary Clinton was acting for him. Maybe she wasn't. Just look how difficult it is to get her off the campaign trail just on the basis of the fact that she actually did break the law in some way, shape, or form with her her emails and her email server in the bathroom. Think of what's going to be involved with actually indicting the president. It'll take a year just to get that argument through. And again, you have to prove that he covered up Benghazi. A plot to disarm the citizenry. The president, because of his views on firearms, is actually after the guns. He has a plot to disarm the citizenry. Here again, we're talking about a political position. I know that the president would be happy if none of us had guns, but being happy and fighting for that as a political view, even if you disagree with it, it isn't a crime. It's just simply something that has to be discussed in terms of its constitutionality and in terms of whether or not you have the votes to oppose it. In general, Congress does not agree with the president, Republicans and Democrats, on the gun issue. Undermining border security. He has done this through the DREAM Act or whatever he calls his executive orders that go on to the DREAM Act. Where's the court challenge? There was one, actually, and the president won. Another one is mass surveillance, that the NSA is spying on people and it's unconstitutional and it's a high crime or misdemeanor and a violation. Well, here's the problem. The NSA is operating under the legal boundaries of the Patriot Act. Pieces of it just sunset, and they had to stop collecting stuff from people's phones. But they're also acting under the approval of FISA courts, which have been empowered by Congress. So you would have to impeach Congress, repeal the Patriot Act, and probably impeach the Senate for the same thing if you impeach the president for that. Abusing IRS authority. Well, I think he did abuse IRS authority, but again, good luck proving it in a court of law because you have to have witnesses, you have to have a paper trail, and remember, Lois Lerner took the Fifth, so who else do you have to go in front of Congress and testify to get an indictment, and who do you have that would testify in front of the Senate to try it? They say he's subverting America's morality with homosexual marriage, weakening the family, and so forth. Again, these are opinions, and these are not necessarily quote-unquote crimes. Again, you have a Supreme Court decision, as onerous as it was about gay marriage, that backed the president. So the fact is, political orientation is not a high crime or misdemeanor. If you impeached political officers, and judges for political orientation, you would have no one in Congress. Which brings me back to the Constitutional Convention. Now, in a perfect world, according to the people that back it, the delegates to the Article 5 convention, which would be appointed by the state legislatures, would only include 75-year-old retired guys who go to Tea Party meetings once a week. They're in bed by 9 p.m. every night, and generally, they don't want to spend more than $15 for the salad and a hamburger at a place that hosts the Tea Party meetings, except that is not how it would work. All 50 states, as I said, would have different procedures, do have different procedures for deciding who they would send to such a convention, but generally they are chosen on the basis of congressional districts. So if there's 12 congressional districts in your state, you would have 12 delegates, and they are chosen by congressional district, which means liberal states with a lot of people like California, New York, Illinois, Massachusetts, etc., would be heavily represented along with Texas and Florida and the rest. Now, if you live in Minnesota or Wisconsin, who do you think their legislatures would appoint to represent the state to a constitutional convention? Because most of those legislatures include Democrats. In Minnesota, you know, you have an entire Senate, basically, that's Democrat, and most of the House, which is Democrat, even though the Republicans have a majority in the House right now. So the hint here is that I don't think they're going to be sending Scott Walker as a delegate from Wisconsin. And in Minnesota, actually, it wouldn't matter who they sent, because if the person had an R or a D in front of their name, they'd probably be a liberal. In any case, it isn't going to be grandpa or your crazy Tea Party uncle at the con. Chances are, for example, in Minnesota, someone like Keith Ellison, who is the 5th District Congressman, very liberal congressman, would end up going to the Constitutional Convention representing Minnesota, or maybe former Supreme Court Justice Alan Page, or maybe former Mayor R.T. Ryback, or perhaps the Rhino Speaker of the Minnesota House, Kurt Dowd. You know, God forbid it would be someone like Norm Coleman, who certainly is no conservative, or maybe former Governor Tim Pawlenty, who is currently representing Wall Street in Washington as a lobbyist. So that would be great, right? So again, thanks Tea Party for shooting yourself in the foot with this. Even the most conservative justices of the Supreme Court, Justice Scalia, has said that a constitutional convention would be a bad idea because, drum roll, please, there is virtually no way to control what the convention decides to take up. It could literally rewrite the Constitution. Maybe that's why George Soros and socialists also favor a constitutional convention. Now, there's some difference of opinions about that, but in general, they would pretty much be free to have a runaway convention unless somebody can figure out a way to stop that. And Congress doesn't really have any controls. It's just Congress is basically directed through Article 5 to simply call the convention. So you could conceivably have Sean Penn as one of the delegates to the thing, writing law and amendments with Keith Ellison. Well, it is below zero in the Twin Cities. It was 8 below today at noon in the Twin Cities. And of course, I should remind everyone that with the, and it's going to warm up, so we're going to have the freezing and the thawing. And that creates a lot of problems with plumbing. So if you do have problems with your systems, especially with this cold weather, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you can call 612-927-6488. They go back 4 generations in St. Paul. They go metro-wide. The other thing I want to talk about is Ryan Plumbing and Heating for Business. You hear me talking a lot about residential service for Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They do a lot of emergency service. They do a lot of residential service with water heaters and so forth. But they also do a lot of business service. And business stuff can get really complicated, and you need a competent plumber that can deliver quality replacement and repair of plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems for business. And again, you can thank Ryan Plumbing for that. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Chances are they've got a plumber in your area. So if you need help, business or residential, give Ryan Plumbing and Heating a call in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. All right. Thanks, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Okay, why have these brilliant so-called conservatives come up with this constitutional convention idea? Well, one side wants a balanced federal budget. Now, this has come up a couple of different times 30 years ago and now again in the present time frame. Somebody else wants a ceiling for federal debt with some qualifications, which are pretty complex, and I don't know that I'd want those written into an amendment. Another wants a two-thirds majority to set new tax legislation in the Senate and the House on a roll call vote. It's not really clear about tax cuts or changing the tax code. So if you want to pass a tax bill, does that mean you have to have two-thirds majority? Another group wants term limits for Congress and the Senate because what? Because we have so many great candidates for those offices now. Whenever we have an election, or when senators and congressmen retire. And again, Congress is reelected every 2 years, so they do have term limits. It's just that they are limited by your vote. Another group wants to repeal the 17th Amendment, which calls for states to appoint senators, which is actually a good idea. But why do we have to have an assembly, an Article 5 assembly, to do that? Why can't Congress take that up? I think that there's probably a fair number of senators who would prefer not to have to go through the election process. 12-year term limits on Supreme Court justices, which would be fine. This is another thing that they want, which would be fine, except what happens when your guy's appointee. So let's suppose the Tea Party wins and all this stuff happens, and they get these really great judges, like Ted Cruz becomes a Supreme Court justice, and Sarah Palin becomes a Supreme Court justice, and Michelle Bachmann becomes a Supreme Court justice, but there's a 12-year term limit. And when they retire, a Marxist is in the office of presidency, like we have now, right? Then he or she then appoints a whole slate of court justices, and then they turn around and throw the other stuff out that the previous guys allowed in, or vice versa. So I don't understand the basis of that. Here's another one. Reauthorization of standalone federal agencies. They would sunset and have to be reauthorized by Congress. Why do we need an Article 5 convention for this? Why can't Congress do this? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there are people who disagree about the efficacy of federal agencies. Some think they're a good idea, some think that they're not. So it's a political issue that goes back and forth depending on what side of the fence you're on. Another one wants to restrict the Commerce Clause so that supreme regulatory authority isn't delegated to the federal government. They want the states to have supreme regulatory authority. Good luck with that one. Limiting the federal government's ability to confiscate private property, because this happens all the time. It's happened a few times lately. You know, Kelo is a perfect example. I think it's Kelo, where someone, you know, took property and used eminent domain improperly, or widened the scope of eminent domain. But I don't see confiscating private property as a burning issue these days. Make it easier for states to amend the Constitution. And I mean, this is one that you almost laugh out loud at. We want to make it easier for states to amend the Constitution. What do you think California would come up with if they could amend the Constitution? What do you think Mark Dayton and the Democrat majority in the Minnesota Senate would come up with, or the Wisconsin legislature when it was Democrat prior to the Scott Walker administration? What do you think they would come up with as resolutions? Like, for example, every state has to have unions for everything. You think that would be an amendment to the Constitution? And then, of course, all this stuff has to get ratified by 3/4 of the states again. So you have this really so let's suppose you actually do have an Article 5 convention that doesn't run amok, and they actually come out with a slate of potential amendments. And how do we ratify them? Do we ratify them by a slate, or do states pick and choose? What is that? Here's another guy wants to give the ability to have states override Congress, essentially an active form of nullification. The problem with that is, isn't Colorado already doing that with legalizing marijuana or medical marijuana? Aren't they already overriding federal law concerning drugs? Here's another one. They want to enact a nationwide photo ID through constitutional amendment. Well, if states can nullify Congress, then couldn't they just nullify that as well? I don't know. Couldn't they nullify laws that sought to enforce photo ID? So basically, what has happened is, just because some talk show guy thought that the Constitutional Convention is a good idea, it sounds like a new idea, even though it's not, because it's been done several times in the last 40 years, all of the 75-year-old guys at the Tea Party meeting are dutifully following this individual. And it does two things for this guy. One, it makes him look like a constitutional law authority, which he isn't. And number two, it sells a lot of books, right? And it gets people to listen to podcasts and talk shows. So it's kind of a frustrating thing, because the most important effect of this, both impeachment and the constitutional convention idea, I think it allows people who are politically impotent to point to something that is probably never going to happen, no matter how many people advocate for it on talk radio, as an excuse why their fantasies will never come true. In other words, many people that I know whose intentions are, I think, true, have some fantasies about getting us out of the UN and having, you know, there's all, you could make a whole list of them. I just gave you a pretty representative list, which really, these are political fantasies because they can't carry the day in elections. So we have these fantasies about constitutional conventions accomplishing these things that will never, ever happen. And so if they don't happen, then they can say, well, you know, I told you, if we could just have a constitutional convention, this would all be solved, except it'll never happen because you have to organize to make these things happen, and you have to organize to make sure that they happen effectively. And if you can't organize now, you aren't going to be able to organize then. Caucuses, work for a candidate, become a precinct chair, do some door knocking, take grandma and grandpa from down the street to the polls, make a donation to a campaign, actually go to the caucuses. Ah! I'd much rather impeach Obama, secede from the Union, talk about nullification, and talk about the Article 5 Constitutional Convention. It'll be great. If you want to know why the conservative movement in this country is dead, and it is, or why they haven't had a new idea in 25 years, this is the kind of nonsense that explains why. Because, first of all, the Constitutional Convention is not a new idea. Impeaching a president is not a new idea. Republicans tried it and failed miserably and set themselves back years when they tried to impeach Clinton, who actually did perjure himself, by the way, but they still didn't remove him from office. And yet you still hear people say that the Republicans are the party of Reagan, which actually did usher in some new ideas and concepts in governance. Or you'll hear them say that the Tea Party is a refreshing addition to the political landscape and it's getting people involved, except it isn't. And you'll hear people say things like, well, you know, conservatives are usually motivated by rational ideas and liberals are usually motivated by emotions. And yet these kinds of ideas strike me as being really pretty emotional and really emanating from this concept of people feeling that they are not able to influence the political process, but not understanding how to organize effectively to influence the political process. And if you don't believe me, just stop for a second and ask yourself. Think about, have you really heard one new idea generated by the right in this cycle at all? I mean, most of the ideas are not new. Trump's wall is not a new idea. A balanced budget is not a new idea. Steve Forbes ran on the flat tax almost 30 years ago, but a flat tax, and by the way, Ben Carson's flat tax is not flat because it's basically progressive in that it leaves an exemption for people below certain income levels. People talking about destroying ISIS is not a new idea. I thought we invaded Iraq to destroy Al-Qaeda, so now we're going to turn around and do it again to destroy ISIS. I don't see how that works. Term limits has been around for years and decades. People have been talking about that, for especially on Congress, for years. Make America great again as a slogan is not an idea, and of course that's never been said before in politics. And on it goes. I think the thing that's just amazing is that people think that if they have a constitutional convention, there wouldn't be any people who oppose them at the convention. It would just be conservatives and Tea Party conservatives at that. People who so far haven't been able to organize really many political victories here and there, you know, in plus 25 Republican districts in places like Texas, yeah. Here in Minnesota, they can't even organize a local block party, let alone actually influence an election or influence what politicians do when they're in office. They've been useless. In Minnesota, we have a very liberal Speaker of the House who's a Republican, Kurt Dowd, who goes out and speaks to the Tea Party all the time, and they clap and they listen to him, and he goes away and they hate him. They can't even find someone to run against him. Tom Emmer's another guy. He goes to all the parties. They thought he was going to be this super Tea Party conservative guy from the 6th District in Minnesota, like Michelle Bachmann. He goes into office and he's a little bit more moderate than they thought. And they're angry at him. And they go to, you know, parties and they walk up to some guy at a party and they go, "You, that guy, Tom Emmer, he's terrible." And the guy that they're talking to is Tom Emmer. They don't even recognize Tom Emmer and they don't have anyone to run against Tom Emmer. But they're going to raise hell. And I hate to be harsh, but this is just more indication of a pronounced ignorance on behalf of some people on the right, and it doesn't bode well for the election. For example, hey, how did you vote? Well, I didn't because I was too busy with impeachment Obama petitions. I had to, you know, do some emails. Hey, did you go to the caucus? No, I was on the phone all night with my friend who's working for a con movement, and it's going to be great. But only Tea Party conservatives are going to be there, and we're going to have someone like Mark Levin preside over, just like the Tea Party meetings. Hey, can you work this weekend to help our candidate Ted Cruz win the presidency? Hey, wait, is that Tuesday? No, I have a Tea Party meeting, so I can't go. See what I'm saying? These people who are working on things like impeachment and con, they're not out working to get candidates elected. And so what's going to happen is Democrats will get elected who don't want to have anything to do with that crazy Tea Party idea of how things should be done. And I don't want to lay this on too thick because, honestly, I think people in the Tea Party are genuine, honest, and sincere, authentic people. They are worried about their country, and they want something done, and they want to try to help. They just don't know what to do, and the Tea Party isn't showing them what to do. They're channeling them into these silly movements of folly, so to speak. This is not the way to solve current problems, a con and impeaching a president who's going to be out of office by the time the trial's over, or impeaching a president whose replacement will be the vice president, who's the only person in the country worse than the current president. Things like term limits and constitutionalizing nullification aren't going to solve our economic and foreign policy problems. They will make them worse. If you don't like rhinos, for example, if you don't like Republican establishment types, if you want more libertarian governance, if you want Tea Party governance, let's say, then what you've got to do is work to get the vote out for your guy. And the key question is, are you doing that? Or are you doing something else, sending out petitions to impeach Obama or wasting your time with an Article 5 convention movement? Can you do that? Is it possible for people to put those things down that are distractions to work on a very simple thing like getting more people turned out for the caucuses to get your candidate nominated? You don't like Jeb Bush. You don't like Donald Trump. You don't like fill in the blank. What about getting all your neighbors together to agree with you and going to the caucuses? Can you do that? Or are you a sack of potatoes sitting on a chair with your eyes drooping at 8:30 p.m. listening to just some other guy talk about the Constitution at the Tea Party meeting, basically another BS speech from somebody who has a book to sell? That's really the key question. And I'm sorry, but somebody needs to say it. Got to say thanks to Alpha Systems. They are the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com. If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. You know, you want to get there, but you really want to get there safely. That's what's really important. And Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Here's what you do. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com. It'll take you to Alpha's page, and they explain. There's lots of blogs and stuff that explains some of the people who have been saved by using Alpha's AOA. So thanks for listening to Podcast 455. Thanks to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Don't forget him for emergency service with the freezing and the thawing. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, metro-wide from St. Paul. Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Remember, wherever you are in the world, when you need safe, reliable, and affordable transportation, think X Government Trucks. Check them out at xgovernmenttrucks.com or visit the Mega Truck Center, now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota. They've got the best brands, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, work trucks, plows, and lenders for everybody at all credit levels. Don't forget, and yes, I have the megaphone.
xgovernmenttrucks.com.
All right, again, thanks for listening to Podcast 455. It's something to think about in terms of priorities. What are we doing? Why are we working on stuff like impeaching Obama when he's going to be gone in a year and an Article 5 convention that really Congress should be working on those initiatives on their own? We should be pushing politicians to look at those issues. And to do that, you need political power. And right now, many on the right just simply don't have it. And I'll talk more about this going forward. So thanks you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, especially BlogTalkRadio.com, which has got some new things that people should check out. Thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And thanks for your donations at TheBobDavisPodcast.com for coverage of Election 2016, getting ready to take the diesel out again. And thanks also to those of you listening to The Bob Davis Podcast radio show on GCNLive.com and on the radio. Thanks for listening to podcast 455.